Turning your Bibles, please, to Matthew 22:41-46. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is four Sundays long, begins usually at the end of November up to Christmas. And so today we're going to be looking at something sort of related to Advent, that is Jesus as the Son of David. Our text is Matthew 22:41-46. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The Son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying," he's quoting from Psalm 110 here, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the revelation in your scriptures of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his identity, of who he is, Son of God come from heaven. And so we ask you, Lord, to open up our understanding of this teaching today that Jesus is the descendant of King David. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you were talking to someone someday out here in our city, and perhaps you began to tell them something of the gospel, and so someone would ask you and say, "Whose son is he?" Jesus. "Whose son is he?" How would you answer him or her? They ask you, whose son really is Jesus? Well, you might say, well, he's the son of Mary and Joseph. But Joseph wasn't really his father because Mary became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So he was a really unique being. He was fully human and fully God, you might say. But you would need to give some explanation there as to whose son he is. Well, today I hope that the sermon will help you in answering that kind of question. This particular passage here in Matthew 22, often the Pharisees came and asked Jesus questions and tried to trip him up, try to make him look bad in the eyes of the people. So Jesus turns the table on them here and he asks them a question. He's talking to a group of people who should have known the answer to his question. So Jesus asked them about Messiah. He actually has two questions for them. The first question is regarding the Christ or the Messiah. That's, Christ is Greek, Messiah is Hebrew. Regarding him, who was promised by the prophets in the Old Testament, whose son is he? Well, they knew the answer immediately. Actually, the word son, as it's often used in the scripture, really means descendant, not the immediate son, like my father or your father, but maybe your grandfather or your ancestor from way back. The Bible might say you're the son of so-and-so. Well, they knew the answer because the answer was prominent in the Old Testament scriptures. Many times the prophet said that the Messiah to come would be the son of David, that is, a descendant of David. And so they said, he's the son of David. Well, and then he says to them, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord. The Lord that is Yahweh said to my Lord, this is David's Lord, someone greater than David. Yahweh says to this Lord of David, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Well, they all looked at one another and they were stumped. They could not answer that question. Well, they were right in their answer to the first question. The Messiah, the Christ, whose son is he? Who's he descended from? They said, from David. Now, this was well documented in the Old Testament, the fact that the Messiah would be a descendant of David. So the beginning of this prophecy, one of the key ones is when Nathan, the prophet, came to David in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12, and he said to David, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, talking about Solomon there, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So Nathan's saying, your son is going to carry on the kingdom. He's going to build a house, a temple, and this throne is going to last forever. Or we could read, for example, 2 Chronicles 6:16. And this was a prophecy Solomon uttered. It says, now therefore, O Yahweh, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, what you have promised him, saying, you shall not lack a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons pay close attention to their way to walk in my law as you have walked before me. Other places where it's very prominent that the Messiah would be descendant from David. For example, in Psalm 82, verse 2, steadfast love will be built up forever in the heavens. You will establish your faithfulness. You have said, that is, Yahweh has said, I made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Or Psalm 132:11, the Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of your sons of your body I will set on your throne. And throughout the Old Testament, we read, for example, Isaiah spoke about this several places. But Isaiah 11:1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. And a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Or Jeremiah 23, verse 5, behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. Now this is a picture like of a tree, a branch coming off, in which David would be the trunk of the tree. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Or Micah, another prophet that spoke of this. He said, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Of course, this was the prophecy that the scribes found for King Herod. When King Herod and the Magi came, where's the Messiah to be born? Well, they knew. Micah 5:2 in Bethlehem. Well, you see, this fact of the Messiah being the descendant of King David was very well known in Hebrew culture, not only to the Pharisees, but to the common people. For example, in Matthew 9, it says, verse 27, as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David!" When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. So these blind men were blind physically, but apparently they were not blind spiritually, because they heard about Jesus. They heard evidently of his healing power, and they evidently thought this was the Messiah, the Son of David. And they knew that the Messiah would be merciful, so they could call upon him with confidence. "Son of David, have mercy on us." There was another similar instance that we see in Luke 18, verse 35. One day as he drew near to Jericho, another blind man, was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So he addresses him as the Son of David, the descendant of David, who would be the Messiah. And those standing in front of him rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This was the term that was on his lips, that was on his mind. Son of David. It was packed with meaning to blind Bartimaeus. Jesus stopped, commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." He immediately recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Well, it was well known that the Messiah would be the descendant of King David. Another place, we read in Matthew 12, verse 22, then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute, couldn't talk, was brought to him, and he healed him. So the man spoke and saw. He had his sight and his speech recovered, and all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the Son of David?" You see, the people knew that the Messiah would have healing power. How do they know that? Because of the Old Testament scriptures. For example, Isaiah 61, verse 1, which Jesus read in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4, remember? He said, "This is fulfilled in me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, opening the prison doors to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Well, even the little kids understood this. For example, in the triumphal entry in Matthew chapter 21, verse 7, his disciples brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Lord, save!" So, the people were shouting, and then down in verse 14 of Matthew 21, we read, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. Even the children had a sense of who this was. They'd been taught this. And they said, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes you have prepared praise?'" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. Now, what was their conception of the Messiah? It's often been stated that they really, most of the people didn't really have a true conception, correct, of what the Messiah was to do and who he was. They saw the Messiah as a political, military leader who would lead them in triumph, deliverance from the oppressors, the Roman oppressors that ruled their country, and lead them back into a golden age of Israel, like under King David. There are a few, though, that did understand the more spiritual meaning of the Messiah. Well, here's an important thing to mention. Every time one of these people said, "You are the son of David," like the blind man, Bartimaeus, the children, Jesus never denied it. He always accepted it. Now, he didn't get up there in the middle of a crowd and say, "I'm the son of David." But, you see, he was careful. He didn't want people to be looking to him and following him as a new political, military ruler that had come to free them from foreign domination. But he never denied it. He never denied that he was the son of David. Now, the early church believed that Jesus was descended from King David. Matthew's gospel, which we believe was written specifically to help Jewish people understand that Jesus was the Messiah, begins like this. Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy, the ancestry, of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So, there, the genealogy traces him back to David and even back to Abraham. Now, why Abraham? Because Abraham was the father of the Hebrew nation through whom God made covenants to make them a great nation, to give them a land, to make them a blessing in the earth. And the genealogy of Jesus Christ is traced in Matthew 1. And also, it's traced back to Joseph, his legal father. Matthew 1:20 says, "But as he," this is Joseph, "as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for what that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" So the angel calls Joseph the son of David, the same name that's given to Jesus. This shows us that this term, son of David, can refer to any descendant of David. There's a whole list of descendants in Matthew 1 that were sons of David. But of course, Jesus is the unique son of David, different from all the other descendants of David. Well, the early church believed that Jesus was descended from David. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, we see another genealogy, and this one traces Christ from Adam all the way down to Mary. So, both through Matthew 1 and Luke 3, both mother and father were descended from King David. The father legally, not actually. Mary was pregnant, of course, by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are even some Gentiles that understood some of this great truth. Remember, the Magi came from the east, looking for him who was born king of the Jews. They had read the Old Testament scriptures and believe them. Now, the early church proclaimed Jesus' descent from David as a crucial part of his office as Messiah. For example, Peter, preaching in the book of Acts, chapter 2, he's preaching there. Now I'm going to take up just in verse 30. He's quoting here a prophecy given to David. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his kingdom forever. And then when the gospel began to go out to the Gentiles, we have this example from Acts chapter 13, where Paul's preaching at the synagogue, and I believe it was Pisidian Antioch. He talks about what God did, verse 22, when he had removed him that is Saul from kingship, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus as he promised. So Paul is saying there, God did what he promised. From David's descendants, he calls him his offspring, God brought to Israel the Savior Jesus as he promised. Now, in the great theological treatise that Paul wrote to the Romans, he begins, when he describes Jesus Christ, in chapter 1, he identifies himself, I'm a servant of Jesus, called to be an apostle. The gospel of God, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son. So, what is the gospel? It concerns the Son. And how does he describe the Son? What's the first way he describes the Son? He says, who was descended from David? Mm-hmm. So we see how crucial this was in Paul's own thinking, that he wanted to link up David and Jesus, Jesus being a descendant of David. Now, he goes on and says, he was descended from David according to the flesh, but and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So you see, Jesus is connected to humanity in his flesh, but he's raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit, showing humanity and divinity joined in one person here. Now, again, for example, when Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:8, he says this to his son in the faith, remember Jesus Christ. And what does he say? He describes him in two ways. Risen from the dead, just like in Romans 1. The offspring of David, just like in Romans 1, as preached in my gospel. This was part of his gospel, to preach that Jesus was descended physically in the flesh. You can trace his lineage. He's the offspring of David, and he's the one that God raised from the dead. He says, I'm suffering for this gospel, but the word of God is not bound. I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. Here's the bottom line. Eternal glory. Eternal glory to God, enabling us, his people, to enter into and see and behold that great glory that's in Jesus Christ, the offspring of David, the one resurrected from the dead. Now, in Revelation 22, we see an interesting description of Jesus. Verse 16 of Revelation 22, Jesus is speaking, and he said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root. Jesus says, I am the root. I'm the foundation from which everything sprang up. I'm the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. I caused David to be born, to live, and yet I'm also the descendant of David. Similar to what he was teaching the Pharisees in Matthew 22. You see, let's look at this a minute. Matthew 22, verse 41. The Pharisees' discussion with Jesus that day. Jesus asked him, whose son is he? They said, well, he's the son of David. So Jesus said, well, if he's the son of David, why does David call him Lord? And then he describes this one. The Lord said to my Lord. Yahweh, the Lord, said to David's Lord. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies under your footstool. You see, the right hand of God was a place of power and sharing in the glory and divinity of God. So to sit at the right hand of Yahweh was to be equal in power and glory and divinity with Yahweh. Well, the answer to the second question, who is this one? He is David's son, but he's also David's Lord. He is both. He's both David's descendant as well as David's Lord and God. Well, what do we see here? Several things I want to mention. First, we see that God always fulfills his covenants. He had covenanted with David to always have a descendant on his throne. And this was fulfilled in Christ, who's the King of the kingdom of God, the ruler of God's people, the ruler of heaven and earth. He's the one that the promise to David was fulfilled in. So God fulfilled his covenant to David. I'll always have one of your descendants on your throne. And when it got to Jesus, that was a permanent descendant that would not die like the others. Now, another important thing that we see here is that Jesus, the Messiah, had a human ancestry, which shows his full humanity. He was a descendant of all these people. His ancestors before him, before David and after David, were sinners. Jesus was descended in the flesh from sinners. Okay? There was Rahab, for example, who wasn't she the grandmother of Ruth or something like that? I don't remember exactly. A prostitute, okay? There was Tamar, who bore children, Perez and another one. Tamar was David's daughter. Am I right on that? Mm-hmm. And then there were these kings. Many of these kings descended from David were idol worshippers, led their nation into sin. So David, his people before him were sinners. many of them after him. They were all sinners, of course, but in greater degree than others. So Jesus was descendant of this line of sinners. He was descended from a great king, but sin was deeply entrenched in all these people's lives. We know David had his fair share of sin also. But what does this show? It shows that God has ordained to work among humanity in humanity. Humanity has been elevated in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not beneath God's dignity to take upon himself humanity. Now, he did not partake of the sins of David and his descendants. He partook of their human nature, but not of their sins, okay? The fact that Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit probably is one of the chief ways we know this for sure. So humanity was elevated in the fact that the Messiah was a full human being. Now, this has tremendous implications for us because it means our King and our Messiah understands us. He knows us. He knows what it's like to be a human. He knows the pressures, the temptations, the difficulties, the heartaches. And so we have a compassionate, understanding, and benevolent King of the Kingdom of God. Jesus, God, keeps all of his promises. God promised David, you're going to have a descendant to sit upon your throne forever. This is fulfilled in the Messiah Christ. All these other covenants are fulfilled in Christ. Christ established the new covenant by the shedding of his blood to purchase a people for himself, to be with him forever. Jesus is our hero from heaven. He came, partook of our nature. Now, what he went through in our behalf was not easy. Fully human. So he experienced all these pressures and heartaches and temptations that we do, yet he did not yield to sin. And so we have a great hero who knows what it's like to be a human. You cannot accuse God of sitting on his throne and not knowing what it's like to be a human. He knows completely what it's like. And he has conquered all evil and all sin and all wickedness through his Son. He has come to rule on David's throne forever as our great benevolent King and our Redeemer, the Savior from our sins. So, who is the Christ? Whose son is he? He's the son of David, but he's also David's Lord because he died for David's sins and rose for his justification, the same that he did for all of his people. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. And thank you, Father, that this Messiah, this Christ, came from the line of King David, that he was a full human being, and yet he was the divine Son of God. He was recognized as a descendant of David. The church recognized that he was the fulfillment of the covenant with David to provide a king forever on his throne. And he ever lives as the King of the Kingdom of God. He's alive and well at your right hand. And he's ruling and reigning among us by his Spirit and through his Word. We thank you, our Father, for giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the King of the Kingdom of God, in whose name we pray. Amen.